Good morning. Good to see each of you. We will dismiss the children to children's worship this time. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you remember that I asked the question, if God is present everywhere, remember we talked about Psalm 139, I asked the question, if God is present everywhere, and David said in that psalm, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I asked the question, if God is present everywhere, then why does Scripture often speak of God's particular presence in particular places with certain individuals and at specific times, such as, you remember Moses at the burning bush, God appeared to him there, spoke to him. Joshua, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Gabriel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Scripture says God visits. God dwells with us. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. Time and time again we read, God was with so-and-so. What does it mean by that, that he was with so-and-so? I thought he was already everywhere. Are these just anthropomorphisms? Are they figures of speech? Is God condescending to use human language and points of reference because we're so limited? Well, your homework for these last 2 weeks was to figure this out and get back with me, but my phone has not rung. No answers. Well, I'd like today to resume that discussion, and to do it, we need a timeline. So let's use this tape as a timeline. Tim, would you be as old as dirt and hold this end of creation? And Lindsay, you haven't been born yet. So if you can sit wherever you want, just sit there. And let's imagine this as the timeline of all of history. Hold it up a little so we can all see time, okay? And God comes along. You can hold up a little higher than that, see? Then I can touch it. God comes along and asserts his presence. Should we just rest it here? Maybe that's a little easier. God asserts his presence at various places along that timeline. And even though the song says God is watching, that's not at all true. God is actively involved in specific places and locales and geographies and in certain lives all along this this continuum of time and time and history. Here's the truth. God chooses from time to time to manifest his presence, to make his presence particularly evident in our realm and our sphere so that he may accomplish some aspect of his eternal plan. If that's the beginning of history, God chooses to step into history from time to time and manifest his presence, maybe right here in your life or mine, or another circumstance, or a church, or a nation, or a geography. He chooses to step into that history and manifest his presence, make his presence particularly evident in some realm or sphere, but not always the same. Why? So that, all the way at the end, he can accomplish some aspect of his eternal plan. Let me say that just a little bit differently. He asserts his presence in a particular time, a particular place, for the purpose of affecting some aspect of his eternal objective. Let's say it yet another way. God steps into a particular realm, some local sphere, perhaps someone's life. He reveals his presence in such a way that it changes the course of events right there. And that changes not just history, but eternity. And all we can say when we look at that particular sphere or event or locale or geography that God stepped into is, God is here. That's all we can say. And it changed everything. So that's the overview. But have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered, why does God assert his presence in our realm? Why does he choose to manifest himself right over here or right over there? Why does he choose to make some people especially up close and personal with his presence, but others not so? Why is it so important for God not just to be omnipresent, present everywhere, but God to be particularly present in these particular specific areas and places and times and relationships? Why is that? Why does he step into history and even participate with men in accomplishing certain activities in time and space? Have you ever wondered those things, or is it just me? Well, I've been thinking and studying along these lines, especially these last couple of weeks. I'd like to share with you four words that seem to have come to the surface that have given me a limited understanding of why the Infinite One has chosen to be more than just omnipresent in the world, why he has chosen to be active and near in powerful ways, your life, mine, this place, that on the time historic continuum, why he chooses with a capital P to be present. Four words, here they are: face, hand, arm, and fame. Can you say those with me? Face, hand, arm, fame. Okay, now you got to do the motions. Ready? That's you too, Chris. I know you got two hands. Ready? Face, hand, arm, and fame. All right, let's unpack. Very good, Chris. Let's unpack those a little bit and see if they make any sense whatsoever in helping us understand the underlying purposes of why God makes his presence manifest at different places and times on the continuum of history. As nearly as I can see it, as I've studied every biblical reference I can find, and I know I haven't found them all, but as I can understand it, as near as I can understand, in every case where God steps into the realm of mankind to make his presence manifest, occurring purpose. This is the same whether it's David talking about God's presence everywhere, his omnipresence, or whether it's the Holy Spirit's indwelling of us, or whether it's Christ coming to be Emmanuel, God with us, or whether it's believers, Christ followers, when they die, they are now absent from the body and present with the Father, or whether it's all the way in the beginning of the next era when God dwells with men. In every one of those, there's a resounding and recurring chorus. It's the unmistakable heartbeat of God. The purpose is, and it's this, relationship. Face stands for relationship. It is no coincidence that the Hebrew word for face or for presence is face. Face is how we relate with one another. Even little babies, when they're born, it's not very many days, and they're already looking at the face. That's where the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the expressions and the smiles and the frowns and everything emanates from, isn't it? That's how we identify each other, how we identify whether it's a good day or a bad day, usually, when we relate with one another. Well, it's the same with God. Face expresses relationship, and relationship is a primary underlying reason that God makes his presence manifest in different places and in different lives, maybe yours. Relationship. Relationship. Today we talk about FaceTime. We talk about face-to-face relationships. Relationship is key with us. We even have the modern-day equivalent, Facebook. Why? Because face, relationship, is so important. We're relational beings. We were created by God to be relational and to relate with one another and connect. Relationship is part and parcel of who we are. But we were created in His image. It was His idea first. He made us relational primarily back with Him. So it's no surprise, is it, that God wants to be in relationship with you. And so when God steps into time and space history and chooses, yes, I'm going to step in right here. I'm going to be active and present in this life. Mark it down. It's because of relationship. I haven't seen, and I'd love for you to prove me otherwise, but I don't see any time when God does not step into our realm when it is not in some way related to relationship. Relationship is everything to God. And He wants a relationship with all of us. Created us for that. So David comes along and he says, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. And listen, God is keen on relationship. That when a person responds this way to God's invitation for relationship and begins to seek the Lord's face, God will move heaven and earth to respond to that person and show up personally in that person's life. He will make His presence reachable. Because relationship is His driving purpose. He's that keen on relationship. Believe it or not, He wants a relationship like that with you. Like that with you. Some people are not content to just go about their lives basking in the omnipresence of God. They want a whole lot more than that. You remember the man named Brother Lawrence? He wrote a little booklet called Practicing the Presence of God. I commend it to you. Mark it down. When a person steps into that kind of relationship with God, when they go beyond just the theological understanding of the doctrine of omnipresence, when they step into relationship with God, He will include that person in the accomplishment of His eternal objectives, His purposes. Why? Because of relationship. It's all about relationship with God. Relationship is the reason that God makes His presence manifest. Let's go to the next. Hand. What purpose of God's is manifest presence? What purpose of God's manifest expressed by the word hand? Remember what Jabez prayed. Oh, that You would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that Your hand might be with me, and that You would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And the psalmist said, the eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food time. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand expresses God's heart toward us. What is His heart toward us? His heart toward us is to bless us. So if face equals relationship, then hand equals blessing. God was with so-and-so, and He prospered in everything He did. We read that over and over again, don't we? And then He says, I will be with you and bless you. I will come to you and bless you. The Lord your God will bless you. Biblical pattern is this. God, this is the biblical pattern. God asserting His presence into story after story, into life after life. Whether they're individuals or groups or cities or nations, He is asserting His hand of blessing, His presence into those places in history so that He can bless. God is involving Himself in the events of history, in the lives of people, and His pattern is to assert Himself, His presence, with blessing. That's His hand of blessing. Now, to be fair, and some of you might be thinking, now I've read where His hand was firm against them in judgment. Well, you'd be right about that. But even that comes only after His first efforts were a hand of blessing. When those blessings were thought lightly of and disregarded, then God says, well, I'll step in and get your attention with a hand of severity. But it always begins with His blessing and kindness and goodness. That's His hand. So this second recurring purpose I see of God's particularized presence, His specific manifest presence in history, is blessing. His hand of blessing. Let's go to the third, the arm. What purpose of God's manifest presence is expressed by the word arm? You have to show a muscle there. Face indicates relationship. Hand stands for blessing. Arm represents power, God's power. The arm of the Lord, we read so often. The Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of God. I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth, by My great power and by My outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in My sight. Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for You. Here's the truth. God chooses to manifest His presence in history, to reveal His power. One of the purposes for making His presence known is just that, to display His power. You remember this story, Moses and the children of Israel at the at Mount Sinai, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. God's power was on display that day. Some other things too. But they had no doubt of the power of the Almighty that day. The mountain quaked violently. A sound of a trumpet. No human was blowing that trumpet. The arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord is what brought the plagues on Egypt. The arm of the Lord delivered Israel time and again from their enemies. The Lord wrought miracles and signs and wonders throughout the Bible. Why? To display God's power. To make His power evident. God manifests His presence in different places and times in the continuum of history to reveal His power. Let's go to the fourth. Fame. Relationship. Blessing. Power. And now, fame. Fame is what? Glory. Glory. Throughout the Scriptures, we regularly see God stepping into history, manifesting Himself in this sphere or another, in one person's story or another. Why? One of the reasons is to display, to show His glory. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. The psalmist said, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. So the Lord said, indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. It was enough for God's power and greatness to be evident just in creation. God said, God decided to step into history and make His power even more evident. He chose, as it were, to let us see His finger at work, to heighten our recognition and appreciation of His glory, to cause us to celebrate His majesty and His fame and His grandeur. That is one of the purposes God has in manifesting His presence in particular realms and spheres, times, locales, nations, cities, lives. So, we have there, let's summarize. Face is relationship, hand is blessing, arm is power, and fame is glory. Well, that sounds good. Glad you came today, right? Before we move on, have you ever thought how those are interrelated? Here's a person who responds to God's invitation for a close relationship. And then God moves into blessing. And He blesses that person of this relationship extravagantly. Why? Because He loves them. And then He wants to assert His power in that person's life. Why? Because He wants to bless them even more. And He has this deep relationship with them. And He loves them. And then He wants them to see His glory firsthand. And what's the result? That person just falls on his knees even more, loves Him and appreciates Him. And then God says, yeah, I want to bless you even more. And I want to step into your realm. I want to impact eternity with you. Do something with you to change not just history, but eternity with you. And better. Okay, but all of that, you're thinking, so what? So what? How does that affect each of us? I wish you would hold that thought and come with me for a moment to my home in your imagination. Let's go downstairs to the basement garage. In that basement garage, there's a 41-year-old car there. It's up on jack stands. The wheels are off. The doors are off. The glass is out. The engine and transmission are out. It's down to the bare metal. What is it? It's a 1968 American Motors Javelin. Some of you don't even know what that is. It's a muscle car. And it has a big V8, and it makes some of the sweetest music I ever heard coming out of those tailpipes. It rivals that trombone, in my opinion. I know that's blasphemy. Well, my dream has been to restore it, but it's been down there for 5 years. I pictured British racing green, white racing stripes, the whole deal. But like I say, 5 years, and it's still bare metal, doors off, wheels in, the whole deal. Well, a few months ago, along who is driving now, almost 17, and he says, "Dad, I'd like to help you with that car." Now, I was born at night, but not last night. I know he has designs on that car. I know he has an intention to receive a good return on any investment he makes in helping me with that car. But that's okay. And so what's happened? For the last several months, we've been working down there a good bit. We put new brake lines on, rebuilding the master cylinder, the engine, the transmission, or get put back in. And you know what? David has really gotten into it. And I found he's quite meticulous. We're taking off every bolt and clamp and hose and sandblasting it and painting it. And if it's not quite right, he'll do it again. Boy, sometimes more particular than me. Say anything. I really enjoy that kind of work, but I have never enjoyed it more than when I've been doing it with him. It has been a genuine highlight for me. And a shift has occurred. I've even begun calling it his javelin. And a few months ago, we were talking about what color to paint it. And these are the words that came out of his mouth, something close. He said, "Dad, I think I'd like to fire engine red with white stripes." Well, I'd been thinking British racing green, but, you know, fire engine red it is. Well, then a couple months later, he says, "Dad, I've been thinking midnight blue metallic with a black sea stripe." You know? We can do midnight blue metallic and a black sea stripe. You know, I don't really care what color it is. My objective is to get that thing restored and painted and make it a thing of beauty. And if it means doing it with him and it comes out midnight blue metallic, I'm all for that. If I can picture him behind the wheel of that thing having the time of his life, and I hope he stays alive. You know, I'm ecstatic about that. So as a result, I am down there more evenings than I would have been. We're making good progress, and I feel so privileged to be spending that kind of quality time with my teenage son. Now, that is an imperfect illustration, but do you see any parallels there? God is going to accomplish his eternal objectives. That's a given. But along the way, here's a person, right here. And that person steps into relationship with God, responds to him, gets a vision, the same vision that God has. He says, and the conversation might go something like this. "Wow, did you see that? Yeah. I've been thinking, oh, you want to do that? Sure. Well, what about this? Yeah. Midnight blue metallic." God says, "I think we can do midnight blue metallic because we are headed for the same objective. We're on page together." Do you see what I'm saying? How do I know that? Where do I get that? Listen to this scripture. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is his. You see that? What I find is this. When God finds a friend of this caliber whose soul is so, I find that he invites that person to be a part of his big plan, capital B, capital P, big plan. God says, "Oh, you want midnight blue metallic? Let's do it." It's as if he says, "Look, this is what I want to do. You want to do that too? Let's do it together. What could be more special than us working on that together?" More often than not, It seems to me that God's pattern is in this realm that we call history, this realm in which we find ourselves, asserts his purpose of altering some moment in history, but bigger than that, altering even eternity. And he steps into his presence steps into this realm in concert with one of his close friends. You hear that? God is going to affect his eternal objectives and purposes. That's a given. But he always wants to do it, as nearly as I can tell, in concert with one of his close friends. Who wants to be his close friend? It's as if he says to a partner friend, "Come on, friend, let's change eternity. Let's do it together." Think through the stories of the Bible. God chose to do nearly every one of them with us. You know, he could do so much more without us. He could do it so much better without us. But by and large, he has chosen to eternal purposes with people. And with people with whom he has had a significant relationship, a close relationship. There are some exceptions. We didn't help him create the world. And there's some others. But for the most part, I believe it holds true. God wants to effect changes in time and history that will impact eternity, and he wants to do it with us. You see how relationship just permeates all of the reasons that God steps into history, steps into this realm, into this life, into that one? Well, the question I'm asking myself, and you may be asking it of yourself, is this. Do I have the kind of relationship with God? Am I on page with him to the point that he says, "You know that guy, Paul Cochran, he and I just enjoy what we've got going. And I think I want Paul Cochran with me in accomplishing some of the things I want to get done. He wants Midnight Blue Metallic. I'm going to find a way to make Midnight Blue Metallic work." You know, I bet I see it in your own eyes. I see it in your hearts. You say with me, "I want the kind of relationship with God that creates a compelling invitation for him to assert his presence in a corner of the world. I want to create a winsome invitation for him so that he will extend his hand of blessing and in all of history and eternity, even from my little corner. I want my life to be a humble petition for him to show his strong arm, his power, to impact the little blip of time where I am. I want my life to be an attractive request for him to display his fame, his glory through." God said to David, "Peace." And David replied, "Seek." Think how many God has extended that invitation to. "Seek my face." But then think about how few respond on that level. Such busy people. And when I think about my life, sadly, it's not much different. I think, in fact, that the majority of my life has been spent not seeking that kind of relationship with him. In decades of my life are gone. Opportunities just evaporated for me to be on page with him, to effect something as a result of this little blip of my life for history and beyond. He's going to accomplish his purpose. He did, even those in those times, but he didn't do it with me. I missed out on that privilege and that opportunity. Why? I was just all wrapped up in me. God's invitation to you and to me this morning is the same as to David. Seek my face. You might say, "No, not me. He wouldn't say that to me. You don't know what I've done." No. Remember, David was an adulterer and a murderer, but he repented and was forgiven. God wants relationship with repentant, forgiven murderers and adulterers. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to seek his face. And if you will do that, he will do this. He will find you. He will find the place on this continuum. He will step into your life. And he will make his presence undeniable, unmistakable. Because he wants to do it with you. He wants to effect those purposes, eternal objectives, with you. We're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about that in song. We've chosen some songs that will be a catalyst, we hope, for you to pray back to the Lord about that. Let's stand together. I'll ask you to stand and stand reverently as the praise team returns.